You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Look, I get it. I watched the trailers for this too. Even from just the poster, I went, nobody wants this fucking movie. Nobody wants to watch this film about like the American Civil War, especially with everything going on right now with us all being like, I'm worried about American Civil War. It feels exploitative and all that. I'm here to tell you that Alex Garland Civil War is not the movie you were worried about. This is not, I know you saw the trailer, which played up the action elements of this, but I'm telling you, this is not a Michael Bay film. This is basically more like Salvador by Oliver Stone or something like that, just transposed into America as a warning. Y'all sure you want to get here?
It's like, hey, I know things are bad right now, but you don't want to go down this route.
It could be a lot worse.
It's weird.
You want no part of this shit.
We're weirdly not a political film. Like, it's not. It doesn't.
It's apolitical. Yeah.
It doesn't get involved politics at all. Yeah. It's just
scene that's in the trailers where it's like, what kind of American are you, is probably the most political as it gets.
Yeah. And even which that, is just, I mean, to address racism.
Yeah. And ultimately, yeah, the movie, the point is not one side or the other. It is, what are we doing as a species and a nation?
Right.
Yeah. Which is why I feel like we're going to start this review by just saying, hold on. I know your feelings about all of this early on, because I had the same feelings, but everyone I talked to who saw it early on at South By was like, it killed me. It was amazing. And I was like, really? I mean, like, I didn't like this director's last film, but
I remember we saw that together. You were like too crazy about it. Yeah.
But I've liked
controversial. I was not too crazy about Ex Machina. And that's the only other movie I've seen of him that he directed.
I loved Ex Machina.
I get a lot of people love it.
It just didn't do much for me. Maybe it was just a bad time to see it or something.
But I will say, honestly, I feel like in terms of both storytelling and cinematography as well, which there's several examples here I can quote specifically of like, wow, that was an amazing moment. This might be Alex Garland's best film.
I would agree, yeah. As a director, for sure.
I could argue that. I loved Annihilation quite a bit, and Men, you and I saw differently on that.
I just like seeing the idea of animals who can actually say human words, because I feel like my cats already do that.
That was upsetting. Bear?
The bear.
The bear thing? Oh my God. Yeah. And I will say that this movie, seeing it at the theater, maybe it would have been different at home, was an assault on my senses. Yeah. I was startled by surprise gunfire and all those things, so I'm glad I saw it this way, because I feel like the movie benefits from being like the way that they are the eyes of the audience in this war zone. Us being in the theater and being startled by the loudness and the shock really like made the experience of watching the movie realer. I think it was beneficial for sure.
Seeing the loudest theater in your town, because like, man, I've been to rock concerts quieter than this movie.
Like, I jumped. This was not a horror movie, and I jumped out of my seat several times and was sitting on the edge of my seat, and I looked around and I saw people just like, with their face, like their hands against their face, just waiting for something to happen. Like, it really brings you into what a war zone would be.
It's not an action film, and yet you never know when shit is going to go down. Well, this is a war photographer film, is what this is.
It expresses this sense of dread so well, where like you're thinking about like, okay, you understand the idea of war photojournalists, just journalists in general, just like, okay, well, they're like super neutral. Like, you're not supposed to fuck with them.
But
who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Well, this review starts with me introducing everybody on the review.
Oh, yes.
First off, on the severely racist asshole side, we have Wright.
Hello.
You know how racist the Polish are. And then just because they want other people to be the joke instead of the Poles.
And then the weird liberal, like, 9-11 was like George Bush set it up and blew up the tower, we've got
Mike McAllister.
And then on the, I don't really give a fuck as long as I get to fuck as much as I can. In this guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Eric. Hello.
Eric, hello.
And then me, the reasonable person in the
middle. Oh, I see how this works.
No.
You're definitely the Donald Trump of this whole crew.
And we just don't mean the hairline.
To be fair,
God damn.
Hey, you live to be 197 years old. See how you look.
I just thought you were 162. You lied to
me. I died on the way over here.
Twice, if you remember. Oh, no, you don't remember.
Okay. I'm not sure you even survived that fall.
I gave him a little bit of my blood. Yeah. It's all right. It won't last.
It tastes awful.
It does. But
he gave you blood.
Yeah,
I should have added some of that truffle hot sauce.
That's the one fluid I have not gotten from Chris yet.
Keep waiting, brother.
Wait, wait, is cum on that list? Yeah.
Thank you. That was the joke.
I just needed to know.
I love how people are listening to this review is like, oh, I'm glad they talked about cum.
Apple documentary about me.
It's like, oh,
the two-part Apple documentary.
The Trash and the Can Boys are on this show.
The two-part Apple documentary where the beginning of the second half is like Mike going, well, I've tasted his cum.
Yeah, the Trash and the Can Boys, you never know, cum is going to come up fast.
Well, the whole way you know someone is lying or not is whether or not it tastes like pineapple. Because if it does, they're telling the truth.
I eat too much sodium, so mine tastes like salt.
Very kosher.
Yeah. Wow.
So a lot of avoidance here about actually talking about this movie because it's really upsetting as fuck.
Yeah.
It was a lot to process, honestly.
It's a lot to process.
It's a very sobering experience after the movie. Like, we all walked out and were like, hey.
I feel like only a Brit or someone outside of America could really, to our faces, address our relationship with not only violence, but the way that our country, in its...
glorification of it?
Glorification, but also in the way that journalists in America, American journalists, go to war-torn countries, and it is... ultimately, the story. Nothing matters. It is to get the picture, to get the moment.
Yeah.
But when that happens at home, that's still the same thing. Like, these people are singular individuals that only want this one thing to happen. This one story, they want the picture. They want the moment.
Yep.
They want the pull quote. And, like, the fact that Americans, we have a really fucked up way of, no matter who's in charge, Democrat, Republican, and this is not a hot take, is like, you know... everything that's happening in the rest of the world is because of our foreign policy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's president. I mean, we're seeing that in Gaza right now. Mm-hmm. We have a Democrat president and people are dying in horrific ways. And that this movie really shines a spotlight on not only our ability to tune out the violence, but our ability and our want to glorify the violence.
Yeah.
And experience it, but not at the same time. Yeah.
And I feel like once it really goes into a full on in the third act, like action, like we're directly dealing with the conflict where our photographers are in the middle of the action, which one moment that pulled me out of the film, I was like, are you sure they would actually let photographers in at this point?
But, well, they're pulling them behind them. And
Some of that shit, I was like, wow, is that really what happens? Like, this is fucking crazy.
But like, we're like, this is coming down to the final moments of this conflict. It is disturbing to a point as an American specifically, mm-hmm. and very specifically, where you're watching these like monuments being destroyed, not in a Michael Bay sort of sense.
No. This isn't Independence Day or whatever, where it's like, whoa.
Just wreck them and move on.
Yeah, like it's just a very realistic on the ground. Like if you've ever seen any war photographer film, of which there are many, about them being in the middle of shit. This, except the difference is it's going to affect you because it's America and they're in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Yeah.
Having this happen when it gets to that point. And I was openly weeping at points of this film towards
like,
the
that's
end
my
because
question.
It's very deeply affecting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels so, let me just say this very clearly, not inevitable, but so deeply plausible.
Yeah, yes. Journalists, good people.
I think they're what so.
What do we diagnose?
What we have is we have Kirsten Dunst playing Lee, who is a very famous, war photojournalist, and she's obviously more than just a little bit burnt out at this point.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and it's nice to see Kirsten Dunst return. She hasn't had a big role in a while.
Yeah,
and this was obviously a very highly promoted big return.
A solid actor that doesn't have, I think, the street cred with most people. Like, people think of her as, oh, you were in Spider-Man and this and that, but like, she is one of our most magnificent actors working today.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
Sure,
and, and then you have Wagner Moura, who a lot of people don't know, but I remember seeing the films Elite Squad and Elite Squad 2, which I know most people have never seen. Wonderful, wonderful film. Action, like, very political films that aren't that different from this, really. They're Portuguese films.
He was great. I'd never seen him before.
Places like her kind of like sidekick is like the driver, the like, you know, the writer, I guess.
Well, no, he's like the actual interviewer. Like,
yeah. He's the journalist. She's the photojournalist. Yeah. He's the journalist.
Right.
And he has so much charisma.
Yeah.
And especially for a part that I feel like on paper doesn't really exist. And he exudes so much interest as an audience member. Is like, because he's, on one hand, maybe a little horny, kind of drunk, like he's hitting on the young girl that we will meet later.
Not so far as to hitting on.
But I feel like we didn't see it, but that's definitely how she got into the group. I feel like she was flirting with him.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But like, I think that like
he brings more.
He pulls out to the pat well before it becomes creepy, you know?
Exactly. Right.
He's because used as a fucking tool just to actually try to get out of a sticky situation. Yeah. It's like, oh, who's better at talking?
Said young journalist is Kaylee Spaney, who recently played Priscilla in Priscilla.
That's
in
her? Movie.
Yeah, that's her. That's
holy shit! I had no idea that was her.
She's obviously kind of a big deal.
She was so good.
Yeah, and she's good here as well, who's a young photographer who is a fan of Kirsten Dunst's character, Lee.
Also, I heard she was 23 in the movie, the character, and I turned to dust.
Yeah,
I was like, because she looked like a literal child to me.
Guess what? Well, that here, just I was like, keeps happening the older you get.
Yeah, no, I got that too. I was like, God damn.
Like, all of you.
Yeah. Like, we also look ancient. So, my God, what is going on internally?
Yeah, I thought she was like maybe 17 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, trying to do some Instagram kind of thing. And like, they mentioned she's 23. I'm like, what the fuck, really?
And then you have the astonishing Stephen McKinley Henderson, who I was so happy to
He's having a moment.
Like, definitely an older actor, to be sure. He's 74, like, a black actor who a lot of people, because of memes, know because of Dune, his role as the Mentat in Dune. But he's been in a ton of stuff.
I mostly know him from Bo is Afraid.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
He was the psychiatrist.
But he's been working from like 76 on.
Yeah, he's always great.
And he's amazing. And he has an incredibly important role here as the sort of mentor character to Lee, who comes along for this ride. Because the point is, they're like, we're driving across the country to get to Washington, D.C. because even though every other journalist is like, you're fucking crazy, we're going to try and get interview the president of the United States while the shit's going down, because even at that point it looks like the president's side is losing this war.
Right.
Like, it's coming to an end, but if we could get to him before this is going to be the biggest thing ever
to
introduce him. By the way, very small performance, but very powerful performance by Nick Offerman. He has two scenes and maybe like four lines of dialogue in this whole
something
film.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, I say four, and those lines, several of those lines repeated like multiple times because he's practicing for it.
Yeah. He has a great opening.
We hear his voice occasionally throughout in like radio broadcasts, but it's a much smaller role than I thought it was going to be.
And yeah, honestly, like the way that he is presented, he carries the tone of the movie because he introduces us to it, where he's rehearsing a speech into what mirror or whatever. And you can already tell because of how he sounds that he's not on the winning side.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that. And it kind of reminded me of there's a scene in the trailer where they stop by in this kind of like, you know, idyllic like town, like, wow, nothing is happening here, what's going on?
Like, you guys know there's a civil war, right?
And like, talking to her is like, oh, it's best not to, like, it's just kind of like just not really paying attention to the situation, and it's just him just like, oh, we're gonna be fine. And it's just like, it's assuming quite a bit.
What I felt was I felt it was a tip of the hat to the idea that the way, like, again, an outsider talking about American violence,
right,
and this is the way that we act. Yeah. Like, right now, there's a genocide happening in Gaza.
Could never happen here.
Right. But, and so we just sort of tune it out. We go about our day and everything, and there's, on the one level, a coldness with the journalists' interactions with it, because they feel like they need to tell the story, but ultimately, is it them telling the story, or is it them being numb to it?
There's a lot of question about that in here, which is why these characters become more than just symbols of this. You're actually, they're struggling with their own relationship, and a lot of that comes from the relationship with Lee, Kristen Dunst, with her older mentor, who has more feelings about, like, no, we don't do these things because what's the point? And B, the younger girl coming in who's very excited, and everyone's like, she's you at that age.
Exactly. And she feels a kinship to, what's his face? I forget his name. Joe.
Joel.
Joel. Yeah. And but, just like, oh, it's like, just, it's a rush. Like, he like explains at one point, it's like, oh, do you guys have a fucking hard on right now? You see the the gunfire over there? It's like, fucking crazy.
People are dying, but he is at that point in his life where he's basically an adrenaline junkie journalist, which there are. And we see Kirsten Dunst at maybe the end of the life cycle of the kind of journalist that just is in the midst of it, where she's weathered. Like, there's a moment where she completely collapses during a really heavy artillery session.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And it's like, that's her ending, what made that, like, that part of her that loved that.
Yeah.
And then we see the younger woman that is her, I guess, replacement in a way.
Yeah.
Become, like, revitalized by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that's what makes the handoff with
their... It starts out that she's, like, this wide-eyed young, like, really motivated photographer. And then you see that she's kind of, maybe doesn't know exactly what she's in for, and she has a hard time dealing with it for a while, until she kind of realizes after this really horrible, terrifying sequence that she's like, you know, this is scary, but I've also never felt more alive. And that's what she really finds herself as a journalist. Like, she's new to the whole thing. She knows that's what she wants to do with her life. And a lot of it is following her getting, you know, kind of finding her place in that kind of role.
To be fair, that will never be me. I'll be like, no. What are you guys, crazy? No.
Actually, find some way out.
Speaking of that scene, I know what you're referencing, which after that crazy scene, where Kirsten Dunst is like sitting there with her and talking about it, and just like having this knowing glance is like, oh, fuck. It's like, you got it from like what I have. Like, you could see it. Just the way that it's shot and how it's transferring to this new person.
Well, it's interesting because there's this thing where, like, early on, this girl's like, oh, I love you so much. And then she kind of sneaks her way into the car by flirting with, like, like the action junkie, like, partner. And Kirsten Dunst's like, look, I don't have anything against this girl. I just don't want her to die.
Fucking dangerous.
Yeah, this is the most dangerous thing imaginable, as has become clear as you
watch
the film.
She's a war-torn human being.
Yeah, just watching her start to care about this girl and identify with her is really fascinating. But that's just one of so many levels of things going on in this film. I said earlier that I was going to specifically comment on the effect of the cinematography here, and I think there's so many moments in this film that I just thought were incredible based just on the choices that were made with that. And the cinematographer Rob Hardy has worked with Garland on pretty much all his films, as well as The Invisible Woman, which is really, really good. That's a different thing. I'm thinking of The Invisible Man. Sorry.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I know, right?
He
doesn't see gender. It's true.
What I really appreciate about the cinematography in this is they did a lot of soft focus and just like this lot of like crazy macro focusing on their faces.
When you can actually see that the cinematography itself is sending you a message.
Yeah.
And there's a shot that I thought was so great in here, where they come across this thing where there's a weird thing in the road, like a festival thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
And they realize there's a sniper, and they, like, get buried with, like, the reverse snipers who are, like, there. And they're like, this guy's like, you're welcome here, but you're not going any farther. There's a sniper. We don't even know where he is. And somebody, they go, there's a question of, like,
which side are you on?
Like, which side are you on? And their answer is very, like, vague to the point of, like, what does it matter? There's a guy there trying to shoot at us.
It's primal. Yeah. And it's just like, someone is there trying to kill us. We're trying to kill them.
And then the camera goes out of its focus to just the plants that are immediately in, like, around them. And it's like Forest for the Trees shot where it's just like, you're like going, why can't you see what's right in front of you here? Right. Why are you even asking me that question? Yeah. This is a survival situation.
Who do you take orders from is what he said.
And there's so many moments like that in here where I'm like, the camera is telling you the story if you're paying attention.
And it mirrors what they're trying to take pictures of. Like Because
they're being neutral.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is the movie is asking you the question, are you going to be neutral in order to get the, quote, story out?
Yeah.
Or are you going to take side? And of any movie I've ever seen, there's one shot that is the most beautiful, pure moment of who am I, a character realization moment. And I don't want to spoil it, but it is when our young protagonist is on her back and she goes through the motions.
Right.
To capture the moment because that's what she's decided she wants.
Yeah.
And she's sort of, I guess, subverting her humanity in order to follow what she thinks is her path.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another movie I've seen that does that as well.
It's heartbreaking because she's not necessarily wrong either.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Like you understand. Like, you understand it, and it feels like Kirsten Dunst has already... Well, you see...
She's accepted it.
Kirsten Dunst makes a decision at some point where she goes, like, I've chosen not to show this thing.
Yeah.
And then this character goes, I've chosen to show this thing. Yeah. And it's...
And this person chooses to do that, and not only that, but continues to move forward, and then ends up in a situation where they are, okay, yeah, I'm with the person that also believes this.
And it's not...
asking for a quote.
It's not a negative quality towards her. It's just a Kirsten Dunst is just done.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of this anymore. Yeah. And it's amazing. We should go to final thoughts, because I don't want to give away too much, because I really think this is a truly amazing film that should be
It's really hard
everyone.
Not to spoil it. That's the thing. Yeah. Everything I thought about in the car that I wanted to talk about, it's like, I can't talk about that because I'm spoiling it.
Who wins? America.
Well, I mean, one would hope, but the problem is it's really hard at this point in America
What is America?
Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
This movie is not taking sides other than, can we not make this happen, please?
Yeah.
It would have negatively impacted the movies. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most it gets into the politics of it is just that, no matter what side there are, like, we've all seen the trailer where Jesse Plemons has a small role and he's clearly very racist.
We hear Antifa.
And they're just like, this is always in effect, but they never tell you they make a point of not telling you which side of the conflict they're on. Just as much as that they say, like, it's like all these sides against, like, another side, and Texas and Florida are teamed up. I know people
California.
Have said, Texas and California.
And Florida, because they have
well, they failed.
Yeah.
Well, because Florida has their thing where it's like, apparently they have similar interests.
They try to get the Carolinas,
like that.
But
yeah,
the idea of imagining a world where Texas and California teamed up in a civil war sounds weird.
Right.
But that's the point.
Yeah,
We don't want to put too much of our current political situation into this.
Because that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, hearing the trailer, we all were like, Texas, California, what the, like, most Texan politicians want California nuked from existence. So the fact that they made them align with each other in this movie, it does set the tone. Like, so it's like, yeah, this is not what you think it is. It's not going to be a political film.
Right.
And that's, like, example numero uno of
that. To be fair, if Texas and California did team up, we'd probably win.
Well, and what's crazy is the lesbians in Texas and in California would team up.
Eric, when did you start with your final thoughts?
You know, I got to say, like, watching this movie, I know we're all in a situation right now because we're in a Joe Biden, Donald Trump election again. And it feels
rematch.
Yeah. Sequel's never as good.
Yeah, and it feels a little like we're spinning our wheels as a country because what are our values? And this movie asks the question without asking you what your values are.
Yeah,
it's like, ultimately, what do you want? And do you want violence? And do you want other people to die? Or do you want people to be able to live peacefully?
Yeah, it presents it as a realistic scenario.
Yeah,
that of what has happened in other countries with this, and go, is this really what you want?
Like, we've been very insulated as a country from day to day violence like that, but there are so many people that every morning they wake up, it might be their last. And for a Brit, of course, it, you know, it has to be a Brit, to tell us like, hey, America, this is what your problem is. And if you don't figure it out, this is going to be the solution.
Yeah.
And
the result.
Yeah. I was very impressed with that. And I feel drained from watching the movie because not only the loudness and everything, it was just like, it makes me worry.
Sure.
But in a hopeful way that we won't end up here. Yeah. But really, like, I was blown away and I didn't see Men. I don't think I've seen any of Alex Garland's movies.
You saw Dread. We watched it the other night. Well, he wrote it.
Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't like it.
Are you serious? You don't like Dread?
It was fine. It was fine.
What? It's not as good.
Honestly, I prefer when he destroys the world that I recognize instead of just being a fantasy.
It's not as good as The Raid. Okay.
But yeah, honestly, yeah. I would say, please see this movie. And for the love of God, even if Joe Biden is a piece of shit that supports genocide, vote left. Mike?
Wow. Hey, what's your give a grade?
Yeah, give a rating.
I would give it like 10 out of 12 dead.
10 out of 12?
Yeah, 10 out of 12 dead Gaznian children. Joe Biden. Go on.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm, yeah.
Eric did not want to leave this review without setting his shit down. He's just like, I just be clear, I've been non-political this whole review, but at this point.
Listen to Trash in the Can.
Eric said, fuck Joe Biden, vote for him.
Yeah. Honestly, that's all I have.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the disagreement's there.
Mike, yes.
Yeah, I am relieved that it's not as political as we thought it was going to be. That, yeah, the thing that made it sound like the most absurd makes the most sense for this kind of movie. There's some imagery in that movie that is truly harrowing because you're seeing, like, things that you would see in, like, images of, like, say, war-torn Iraq, but in an American setting. There's, like a blown-up, downed helicopter in a mall parking lot.
Next to JCPenney.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, all the, like, stuff like that, and seeing, like, yeah, how casually, like, you know, American monuments are being taken down. There's something that's very disturbing about it, and it is going to affect people. But I do like the fact that it is apolitical for the most part, and also it gets very intense in the last 45 minutes or so. It's not an action movie necessarily, but when it does get into that territory, man, it is heart pounding. The cinematography, the production design, just everything is just so well done. Like, I haven't been so hot on Alex Garland myself either. I love Dread. I've only seen, like, really bothered to watch Ex Machina, and the other ones, like, watch the trailers, but maybe I'll watch it someday, but never get around to it. This is the best work. I had just so much to really discuss about, but yeah, like, we can't really go into spoilers right now. But I'm still processing it. Like, there's a lot to process in this.
It's a heavy movie.
It really is, despite the fact that there isn't really much of an agenda. It is. It is so heavy.
Can we not get here, please? Thank you.
Exactly.
Everyone, please agree not to get here.
I was like, because it doesn't have an agenda, I feel like it's heavier.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely worth checking out, and also. You know, I there's going to be a lot of right-wingers going really angry about this. Like, trust me, it's not what you think it is.
Yeah. And left-wingers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I've seen as many liberal people going, like, I do not want to see this fucking movie. And I'm like, you're wrong. You do want to see this movie.
Right, right. Yeah.
What you mentioned in the intro, like, I was rolling my eyes, like, I don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Where we are right now?
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 war-torn shopping malls.
Okay, fair enough.
So thanks, Sarah Jane, for dropping out so I could see the movie.
Right? What about you? No, that's enough.
The cinematography was fantastic. It's a great story. I love the idea that you're following these characters who are journalists who are going through this war-torn America. And I thought it was, like, a really interesting choice. I'm glad that it wasn't just showing, like, you know, Aaron Johnson trying to play American, just like going through, like,
God.
Yeah, just like as a, you know, a soldier going through this kind of thing. And, like, these people who are supposed to be objective about the situation and just presenting what it is and still showing like what it is at the same time. And then, you know, watching it through this lens because it's America and you're seeing this now in 2024 with, you know, current state of affairs and you look at it where you can make up your own idea of it, which I think is very strong of the film, that it doesn't choose a side. It doesn't tell you what is happening, and you get to make up your own idea of like what's right and what's wrong. And because it's like, well, are the Western forces the good guys, the bad guys, or is DC the bad guys or the good guys?
As close as it gets, again, is to say, and the racism, no matter which side you're on, is wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the biggest political statement it makes. Is exactly. Like, yeah, if you're going to kill someone just based on the fact that they're not from America,
right,
that's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Like Jesse Clemens, this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's so close to telling us what we should think.
Right.
But it doesn't.
And I think that, like, that, we're talking about with Martin after the film. I was like, I think that scene is like the...
Martin from Double Toasted.
Double Toast. But, like, that scene right there is, like, the thesis of the film. Is like, and his line that he says is like, well, what kind of American are you? I was like, that... Right. And it's been shown in the trailers, but, like, that really is, like, the quintessential moment. You're like, holy shit, what kind of American am I? Where I'm, like, I'm trying to... portray these values of, you know, just being a decent person, or am I trying to get across this idea that we're right and someone else is wrong? Yeah. But what does that even mean? Right. And so having it through this lens of these characters showing this objective view of all of this, I thought was a great way to go about the story. And I love Alex Garland. Like I've just had a hard on for him for a long time. So like anything he's written from 28 Days Later to Sunshine to all the films that he's directed, I kind of love everything that he does. He's so transgressive, and it really just, it makes you think. And and he doesn't tell you exactly like Men, which I know you had a problem with.
The only things I've been mixed on with him is that and Devs, which I was also mixed on.
I didn't see Devs. I wish I did, but TV.
Such a big fan.
Well, look, TV.
But he clearly has an idea that he is presenting humans with humanity,
yeah,
and letting you decide.
Yeah,
and I think he's one of the few that is able to do that well. Because there's a lot of times, like Damon Lindelof, besides Watchmen, the TV show, which I think is brilliant.
And Lost.
It's just like,
let you figure it out.
And like,
but there's clearly a point of view.
Right.
But with his stuff, I don't think there's a point of view.
Who? Damon Lindelof?
Let's
not get into the big comparison.
Anyway, right. I'm going to give it. I really love this movie. I thought it was great, and it, like, and I know that people have been saying it's like, oh man, 2024 is going to be a bad year for movies. I'm like, motherfuckers, you haven't been watching movies because there's been some fucking bangers out there.
So what are you giving?
9 out of 10 hard-ons.
Nice. Boy.
Well, no. if you tally that up, it's like maybe 5. Well, it's like,
we've been playing
inches.
We've been playing my theater, Monkey Man, which in any other year would never have made it to major theaters, like ever. Like,
oh, right. You threw up during that, right?
I almost did.
Not that you didn't like it. You just,
no,
like,
I just, I, you it were just made
so
me
hungover.
Physically
it suddenly has vertigo.
Due to me, that was my fault. I made him that hungover.
You did. Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of on me.
I wasn't on the review, but
you're
his
Princess Grace.
Yeah. I made a very special guest puke on that show.
But like, it never would have been a film that we were widely talking about and everybody else was widely talking about if it wasn't for the fact that there's a not exactly a dearth of films that are sitting in the kitty for major film studios to put out.
Sure.
So we're getting a lot of like movies that wouldn't have had that much attention. Like, for Christ's sakes, Late Night with the Devil got a wide release.
Right.
Like, oh my God. Like, us sitting in the theater before this, there were trailers for like 4 different IFC and Shudder films, which fucking last year would have seen that happen. Like,
Arcadian?
Oh, yeah. Who? Like, oh, like, wait, what? This is a big fucking commercial theater chain, and why are they
Katie
playing
who?
This? Because they don't have anything.
One of my favorite movies to come out this year was a small. I never thought I'd see like a small movie made that looked like it was shot in someone's backyard. Hundreds of Beavers, you know, all my favorites this year.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying how good that is.
Oh, I've heard that's fun. Yeah, yeah,
probably not going to get a trailer at AMC, but still.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Yeah, but that being said,
that was me in my 20s.
That being said, this is not. Like, a lot of, like, TV shows have gone on to do, like, their final, like, well-after-the-fact ending movie, and this is not the Parks and Rec ending I wanted. I will say that. So
it is the like, one I wanted.
I'm very surprised. Very surprised.
Because I hate libertarians. I hope you all die.
And that was the most political we got here.
I don't disagree.
I'm a lefty Lucy.
This is really amazing. I think this might be, and as someone who's seen everything Alex Garland has done, as opposed to everyone else at this table, big fans, guys.
Wow. As opposed to who are you?
I think that this is his best work. I really genuinely do think this is his best work. I think it's his most realized work. I think it's just where all of his skills and his collaboration with his coworkers, the actors, cinematographer, writer, everything all come together into making what is a film that is, I thought, kind of unassailable. I'm like, this is a hard fucking sell of a movie.
Yeah.
And all you need to do to be sold on it is, well, listen to this One of Us review or anybody else who's actually seen the fucking film and go, oh shit, I should go see this. Yes, you should. I get it. I get all
everything falls into place beautifully.
We all were there with the resistance against this, but outside of like, well, it's Alex Garland though. I mean, how terrible can it be? The truth is it arguably his best film. It's beautiful. It's heartbreaking. I wept at multiple scenes of this film.
I feel different from having seen it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
It is deeply affecting and it's a wonderfully made film and I'm going to give it straight up 10 out of 10 completely insane war photographers. And I don't mean just the people in this film. I know I've had friends who are professional war photographers.
Fucking crazy.
They are crazy.
You were talking about a guy you know that like is Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously. And he's a great guy. And like,
yeah, that's why it's great. Genocide.
Great guy, but he's like, yeah, this one time. I'm like, no, please stop starting sentences with this.
Somebody
one
put
guy.
A head on a pike.
That feels racist. I don't know. Who are the pikes? Are they bad? Is that bad?
They're just Germans.
Okay.
Fair. Oh, Lord.
Hey, Germans are just a different kind of white. Fuck Germans. The official stance.